Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Auto Podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is Sean Kane from Hardcore Penn State Football, here to preview Indiana's upcoming game against the 15th ranked Penn State Nittany Lions on Saturday in Bloomington at Memorial Stadium. Game will kick off at 3:30 on ABC. The weather is supposed to be atrocious, but happy to have Sean with us on to discuss the game. Indiana comes in at 3-5, riding a 5-game losing streak. Penn State comes in at 6-2, coming off a 44-31 loss to Ohio State that was a lot closer than the score indicated. It kind of got wild there in the last 10 minutes if you watch that game. But welcome, Sean. How are you?
Hi, Sammy. I'm doing well. Yeah, I think you kind of set the stage for us pretty well. And also, Sammy was on our podcast last night, so we're incredibly grateful that he was able to pop on, and I'm happy to be talking about Penn State football and the upcoming game with the Hoosiers.
Yeah, and thanks, Sean, for returning the favor. It's always nice to talk Big Ten football, during the season. Take us through Penn State's 2022 season so far. There were a lot of questions. You guys opened the season at Purdue with a late comeback win in West Lafayette. You guys go down to Auburn and win and things like that. But it always seems that there's questions surrounding Sean Clifford and, the freshman quarterback, Drew Allier, not playing the freshman running backs enough. Just, take us through the 2022 season so far.
Yeah, and I'm sure Indiana fans are very, very familiar with Sean Clifford and how long he's been at Penn State. He's a 6-year senior, and there was a lot of Clifford fatigue going into this year. I think a lot of the fans didn't want him to come back, and he's played altogether pretty good so far. The turnovers in the last game notwithstanding, but yeah, there was the close one at Purdue. Penn State was able to pull it out, and then they were able to take care of Ohio pretty easily. And they went down to Auburn and really ran through the Auburn Tigers. And then they struggled against Central Michigan, struggled against
Northwestern.
And they just didn't look how you're supposed to look if you're going to be a playoff contender, in my opinion. And then, they get curb stomped at Michigan off the bye week. And then they have a nice bounce back game against Minnesota. And then they lose a close one against Ohio State. So it's been a good year, definitely a good year. But I think a lot of Penn State fans are disappointed right now. But I think most of that has to do with just coming off another loss to the hands of Ohio State. They beat us every year since 2016. So, and look, we're in the same boat as most teams in the Big Ten in losing Ohio State a lot. But I think Penn State fans really want to take that next step and beat the Buckeyes and compete with them. But most of us are pretty happy with being on a good path toward 10-2, hopefully.
Yeah, Penn State's last four games are at Indiana, Maryland at home, at Rutgers, and Michigan State at home. If you're a betting person, you probably say that they go 3-1 at worst, and then maybe 4-0. Maryland's going to be a fun game on November 12th. But looking statistically at Penn State, they're averaging 33.1 yard points per game, giving up 22. Just you know, 100 and, you know, rushing attacks all right, getting 6.18 yards per play. You know, he fumbled the ball 9 times, lost 5 of them. It seems that Sean Clifford in the losses turns the ball over. It just is a tick off in his in the losses. Now they're to Ohio State and Michigan, but a tick off in their losses than in his wins. And, you know, it was a 17-7 win over Northwestern, but I will chalk that game up into it was a driving rain. There were remnants of a hurricane and things like that. So we'll chalk that up to that. But let's get into a little short Q&A real quick, Sean. James Franklin has not announced a starting quarterback. Is there smoke there? Is he playing gamesmanship with Tom Allen, who has not announced a starting quarterback for Saturday either? And are these like the silly games that Penn State needs to be playing with Indiana?
Well, that's a $1 million question, right? Yep. Are they going to begin the Drew Aller era on Saturday? No. And that's kind of the question that Penn State fans really want to know. I think if you take the pulse of Penn State fans right now, they want Drew Aller to be the starter. And look, Corey and I on our podcast, we have defended Sean Clifford more than a lot of podcasts and probably a lot of journalistic outlets. And it's because we always operated from the standpoint of who gives you the best chance to win football games. Your 6-year senior, who, albeit an average quarterback or an unproven freshman, and yes, he has a higher upside than Sean Clifford, but I tend to believe that Sean Clifford, any given Saturday, probably gives you the best chance to win football games. So that's why I wanted Sean Clifford to start. And now that our chance at a playoff berth is pretty much out the window and a Big Ten championship is out the window, I think you have to start thinking I think you have to start moving on to next year and thinking about what next year is going to be, as long as Drew Aller is, you know, competent enough to get through these next 4 games unscathed. That's a concern that I have, because you just don't know. And typically James Franklin hadn't played the backup quarterback as much as he's played Drew Aller. Drew's played in 5 games, I believe. So six. So he's played a lot for a backup quarterback, and I tend to believe he's going to start this week, but I could be wrong on that. And the reason I say I think he's going to start this week is James Franklin, after the game on Saturday against Ohio State, really emphasized the turnovers as being a big part of why Penn State lost, and Sean Clifford in some way, shape, or form was responsible for all 4 turnovers. So that might be his out to try to get Drowler as the starter. But that's total speculation on part.
Yeah, and it's not like Sean Clifford's played poorly. His 16 touchdown passes to 6 interceptions, nearly 2,000 yards rushing. He has 4 touchdowns on the ground. He's a gamer. You know, I've watched him. I respect his grit and his fight too. But with maybe Drew Aller starting, tell us a little bit about what Drew Aller brings to the table that's different from Sean Clifford.
Yeah. So Sean, I agree with you. He's had a good season. He's a pretty good quarterback. But in a lot of ways, he's frustratingly average. And what I mean by that is you always kind of think he's take the next step and it'll show you some really good things, but then he'll just show you some really bad things. If you watch the Purdue game this year, he had a great game. And then out of nowhere, he throws a terrible pick 6. Just out of the clear blue sky, like for, and then we nearly lose the game, but then he goes and wins us the game. Like that's kind of who the guy is. So Drew, he was the number one quarterback in the country out of high school, according to 24/7 Sports. He has a rocket arm, very quick release, and he could just make big time throws that probably a lot of football that a lot of guys, maybe that a lot of guys in the pros can't even make. Now, does that mean everything? Of course not. Lots of guys could make, you know, crazy throws, but it's about consistency and accuracy and you know that the whole nine yards. So there's a lot more than just being able to make big time throws. But he could just do a little bit more from a passing perspective than Sean Clifford could. And so there's the upside there. There's the potential there. And I think the logic is you try to get a lot of those first-year hiccups out of the way this year. So him and that talented freshman class that he's a part of could really take some of that momentum into next year and maybe eliminate some of those, like I said, the first year mistakes this year and try to eliminate those.
Yeah, he's listed, I think it's about 6'5", 238. What does he bring with
speed? Yeah, big catch.
Sean Clifford has what's impressed me is that he's not going to run for like 400 yards a game or be Antoine Randall-El. But he creates a lot with his feet, buys some time, can make those throws. Does Drew Aller bring that in his game as well?
Not as much as Sean Clifford, or if you guys remember Trace McSorley, he's not that type of player. He's pretty good working the pocket from the limited amount of snaps that we've seen from him. He's good at knowing where to be in the pocket. And could he take off? He could. And he's a big dude, so he's tough to bring down in the open field. But I don't think he's somebody that we're going to necessarily be calling a whole lot of quarterback draws for or could create as much with his feet as Sean Clifford, as we know Sean Clifford could.
Yeah, and then you mentioned last night on your podcast that Penn State's dealing with some injuries and maybe a loss on the – offensive line. Take us through what injuries do IU fans need to be thinking about and who are some, you know, notable guys who could play or could not play.
Right. So Caden Wallace, he's Penn State's right tackle. He's been out the past few games, and James Franklin really doesn't get into details on injuries. So we really don't know what's happening with these guys, but he's been injured. Landon Tangwall actually got injured. He's one of our guards. He got injured during warmups at Michigan. Don't know how that happens, but he's been out since the Michigan game, and it's been a few weeks now. So that's – and Landon Tangwall is probably one of our best overall linemen. And then Olu Fashanu, who's going to be possibly a top 10 pick in this year's draft, our starting left – Penn State's starting left tackle – he went out during late in the Ohio State, and he was seen riding the bike, and then he limped off the field. So appeared to be a lower body injury, but so we don't know if any of those guys are going to play. We do know that Olu Fashanu and Landon Tangwall, they were not seen at practice this past week on Wednesday when media was there. So take that for what it's worth. But Caden Wallace was practicing.
You guys, when you think of Penn State football, you think of the defense, you think of good running backs and things like that. Nick Singleton is a true freshman. He has 606 yards rushing. You got Katron Allen, another freshman behind him with 472 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns. You know, outside of that and Sean Clifford, it looks like those three, and we'll leave Sean Clifford out of the equation for now, but those two are the two mainstays at running back. What's the running back position look like with them?
So Catron, so they both bring something a little different. Nick Singleton's the home run hitter. He could really accelerate. And when you get him in the open field, I mean, if you get one-on-one with the safety, a lot of times I'm going to take Nick Singleton in that. So big thing for if you're an Indiana fan is just trying to contain him. And if you can do that, I think you're going to be all right against Nick Singleton. Try to keep him between the tackles. Don't let him out in the open field. Catron Allen is the power guy, although he has more speed than I thought he would have coming into this year. They were both highly recruited. Singleton was recruited a little higher, but Catron Allen, he was known to be the power guy. And he showed some quickness. If you watch the Ohio State game, Catron Allen had a better game than Nick Singleton. And that's been true for most of the year. Right now, he's more of a polished runner. Catron Allen went to IMG Academy. That's that big football school in Florida. And you could really see the difference just in him being more prepared for the college level. And Singleton's had a very, very good freshman season, and he might end up being better than Catron, but right now Catron has the edge. Another guy to look out for, Indiana fans, again, probably familiar with this guy, Kevon Lee. He's still there. And he's been injured the past couple of games, and Franklin Knight actually said that he's a game-time decision for Saturday. So you might be seeing Mr. Lee this Saturday as well. Also a very good back. He's not quite as talented as Catron Allen or Nick Singleton, but he's an experienced guy. He had the go-ahead touchdown against Purdue. So he's accomplished in his own right. So we really feel comfortable with three running backs, provided Kevon Lee is healthy.
Let's switch to the defensive side of the ball. You got Penn State is averaging 2 sacks per game. Usually, yeah, the number seems low. 16 sacks through 8 games. It seems low to me. You're led by a freshman defensive end, Danny Dennis Sutton. Johnny Dixon at corner as well has 3 sacks. And Abdul Carter, a linebacker, freshman linebacker with 2.5 sacks. It looks like you guys can get sacks from anywhere, any position on the field. Just take us through the pressure this defense could bring on quarterbacks.
Yeah, Manny Diaz is the defensive coordinator. He was the head coach at the University of Miami. And a lot of what he does is he's very creative with his blitzes. Like you said, Johnny Dixon's one of the leading sack, one of the guys leading the team in sacks, and he's a cornerback. Honestly, though, the pass rush overall has been kind of disappointing for Penn State this year. Like you said, it's a bit low from a numbers perspective. I actually think the best guy at getting after the quarterback is Chop Robinson. And he only has 1 sack, but I swear he might be leading the country in hurries. He just comes so close, but close isn't good enough a lot of the time, especially when you're playing against the upper echelon in the conference. We want to start getting more pressure on the quarterback. I think that was one of the problems against Michigan and Ohio State was we just weren't getting home with 4. And we had to blitz anytime we were able to sack CJ Stroud. Abdul Carter had a sack and Johnny Dixon had a sack in the Ohio State game, but they were both on blitzes. So not being able to get home with 4 has really hurt Penn State at times this year.
Going into the secondary, you guys have some good defensive backs as well. Most notably is Joey Porter Jr. He's been a really, really good player for the last 3 or 4 years. Obviously comes from great pedigree. 25 tackles this year, 11 pass breakups, and a quarterback hurry. What does he bring to this defensive secondary that Indiana fans need to look out for?
Yeah, Joey Porter Jr., he's awesome. I mean, he's one of the best corners that in my lifetime that I've seen at Penn State. And he, one of the things that a lot of fans of other teams probably don't know is with all the first round picks Penn State's had during over the years, they've never had a defensive back taken in the first round. And I really think Joey Porter Jr. might be that first defensive back taken. And he's a tall, tall kid, very physical. Like you said, he's got the pedigree. The one knock on him probably, and he does have good ball skills, but he just, he has a bunch of pass breakups this year, but he only has one interception. So he's had trouble bringing down interceptions. That's my one complaint with him, but he's very, very good. He's really what you look for he's really what NFL teams look for in modern day cornerbacks. He actually doesn't have an interception this season, but he could run and he's very lanky. He takes up a lot of space. So yeah, he's going to be somebody that I think you're going to be watching for years and years to come on Sundays.
Awesome. Well, let's move on to different questions. We like to do on our podcast, like a key matchup to watch. If you're a casual Big Ten football fan and you're tuning into this game, for you, what is your matchup you're looking at from the Penn State side?
Well, probably Penn State's offense against Tom Allen defense. Trying to keep the passing game rolling, because even though we had four turnovers last week, the passing game was still humming along, and they also played really, really, they also played well against Minnesota. Now it's going to be raining on Saturday, so yes, you have to take that into account, but I'm interested to see how, especially if Drew Aller's quarterback, if it doesn't really skip a beat, or they're going to have to run the ball because of the rain, but I'm interested to see how they could throw the ball around with potentially a new quarterback.
Yeah, the weather's not supposed to be great. If you haven't looked at the forecast for IU fans, it is, it's not supposed to be super cold, but somewhere in the 60s, some rain at times, with winds in 19, 20 miles an hour, just miserable football. I mean, it's great football weather, but it's miserable weather to sit and watch football, I guess. It's going to be interesting. Penn State has played a rain game already in kind of the similar conditions, probably a little bit more wind. Did that really affect them against Northwestern? I know the score was 17-7, but it looked like Penn State had that in hand for most of the game.
Yes, it affected Penn State quite a bit. You read off that fumble stat. Five of them came against Northwestern. Four or five of them came against Northwestern. And I mean, you don't win games that way. And if you're an Indiana fan, I mean, that's the one thing you want to do is try to force fumbles, because Penn State has shown that they could cough the ball up if the conditions aren't great. So hopefully that's something that James Franklin has cleaned up this week. And if he didn't, then I'm sure Tom Allen is telling his defense, try to strip the ball. That's one of the ways that I think Indiana has a chance to stay in this game, because Penn State did it against Northwestern, and I think Indiana is a better team than Northwestern. And, it was a 10-point game. So if you're an Indiana fan, I think that's what you're going to be trying to do this weekend.
Yeah, and Indiana has forced a bunch of fumbles. They just haven't recovered them. I think the unofficial stat here is that Indiana has forced the last seven fumbles they forced, they have not recovered, which you could throw a football down off the roof, and it's That's almost it's statistically impossible. So it'll be something to watch, and that's kind of my matchup to watch too, is how Indiana's defense creates takeaways against Penn State's offense. Because you're right, that's how a lot of these underdogs stay in games, is you force turnovers, get the ball back, you steal possessions, and things like that. So let's get that into our next thing. My next two questions are, Penn State will win this game if. Go ahead.
Penn State will win this game if they're able to execute their game plan. Penn State has a better team than Indiana. I don't think that's too controversial. Just player for player, they got to execute. And they can't. One thing that in the past, James Franklin teams have struggled with is coming off of a loss, especially a close loss. So they can't get into a lull. They can't be in some depression going into Bloomington. And in a place like, I have a lot of respect for Bloomington Memorial Stadium. I've seen them give I've seen teams in that stadium really struggle against Indiana. So executing game plan, coming out fast, trying to get up to a, try to get an early lead. That's what I think you have to do if you're Penn State, because if you let Indiana hang around, you let them start to believe, that's that they could end up being a dangerous team.
Yeah, that's, you know, mine. Indiana will win this game if, you know, they stay in it and get to believe. IU has played, you know, on paper, you'd think that they're better than Rutgers. They're probably about even, maybe a little worse than Maryland. And, you know, they were probably better at the time than Nebraska. But you gave those teams reason to believe, and they came back and won. And so that's kind of the recipe that I think IU needs to take, is keep it close. Stay in the game, build that belief. Heck, if IU could jump out to a lead, even better, because that's how upsets happen. But I want your take on IU will win this game is.
Yeah, kind of going back to what I said earlier, they have to force turnovers, and they have to capitalize off those turnovers. I know the passing game and the run game have struggled for Indiana this year, but If you force turnovers, you have to take advantage of them. You can't just be, because a big reason why Northwestern really had a shot to beat Penn State if they were able to do anything with the turnovers, and they weren't able to produce any points. So force the turnovers. Like you said, the defense this year that they've been able to force fumbles, haven't been able to recover them. So recover them and try to score. So I really think that's the way Indiana could stay in this game. And who knows, they're at home, they could potentially win it. Sloppy day, I gotta think that benefits Indiana. I tend to think sloppy days benefit the underdog, so sloppy weather days. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from for the Hoosiers this week.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, Penn State, for me, Penn State will win if they execute their game plan and play up to, you know, their potential and don't, you know, take a nap after, you know, I get it, losing to, we talked about it last night, losing to Ohio State, it's all the air's out of the balloon. You wanted to win the Big Ten East and potentially go to the college football playoff, and you had a shot, you still had a shot after the Michigan loss, but now with losing to Michigan, to Ohio State, you're, unless something absolutely crazy happens the last 4 weeks of the season, you're eliminated from that race. And, you know, it seems to me that James Franklin's Penn State teams kind of have a, you saw it against Illinois last year after a, in November, there's like a November haze, but yeah, if you're Penn State, don't sleep on this game and get out of there with a win. For IU, it's the exact opposite. It's going to be a real crappy weather day, and it's probably going to keep you know, fans from coming into the game, especially on a 5-game losing streak. It's bring your own energy. You know, Penn State's used to playing in front of 100,000 people every week. I think the smallest crowd they played in front of this year was 57,000 up at Purdue. Indiana's used to this. They're used to try kind of bringing their own juice, and that's that Indiana has to do that. They have to bring their own energy. They have to. I hope that, you know, the students come out in full force, at, like they've done for every game except for the one that there was they were on fall break. Because they feed off of that energy too. But to get up after a loss, like Penn State to Ohio State, it's difficult. We've seen it in Indiana. We've seen it all over the country. So Indiana, to me, just you gotta bring more energy than Penn State has. And you know, a wet game, odd shape ball, funny things happen. Let's get into predictions, Sean. What's your prediction for Saturday?
I have Penn State winning 31-13. I think it's a close game at halftime. It was actually my prediction from last night. I think this is going to be a tie game at halftime. And I think Indiana's going to stick with Penn State. I've seen this movie before. Indiana, known for keeping things close. But I think at some point, talent kind of takes over. I could see a Basilak interception or something really turning the game around, and then it's like you blink and it's 24-10, and that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a game. The weather plays into Indiana's favor. Like you said, I would say it's 35-13, 35-16, something like that. Indiana gets a couple scores, but ultimately stalls out. You're right. We've seen this movie before, and as IU fans, we've seen this movie almost over 700 times. Well, if you're alive for all 700 games. But we've seen this movie a lot. You keep it close, and then something happens. A fumble, an interception, a penalty, a big kickoff return. And all of a sudden, like against Michigan, all of a sudden, you're looking at you're down by 10 instead of tied or something like that. So I'm going to go Penn State 35, Indiana 14, but we'll see. It's you know, IU's coming off a bye week. They have quarterback questions of their own, and we'll see on Saturday who's under center for both teams. Sean, before we get out of here, tell our listeners where they can find you.
Sorry about that. I was muted. We're Hardcore Penn State Football. My name's Sean, obviously, and my co-host Corey. We do a podcast every Wednesday and Sunday. We're on YouTube. We are anywhere podcasts are found. You can follow us on Twitter, at Hardcore PSUFB. That's Hardcore Penn State Football. And I did have one question for you. After you got off last night, Tom Allen.
Yep.
Do you think if, and you brought up that Indiana's only won 5 games in the past 2 years so far, at what point does his seat become hot?
When his buyout drops under $20 million. 2024. Yeah. I mean,
good answer. Yeah.
To buy Tom Allen out after this season would be $25.5 million. To buy him out after next season, I think, is $20 million, and it doesn't drop into single digits until December 1st, 2024, I believe. And you know, we've seen it. And I've talked at length on our podcast about it. Tom Allen had to pay out of his pocket to get a new offensive coordinator last year. So to think that Indiana has $25.5 million sitting around, he's not going anywhere. And look, I think people, IU fans should want Tom Allen to succeed. He's an Indiana guy who wants to be at Indiana, and he's shown that he could win there. Is the train too far off the rails? You know, time will only tell. this sport evolves so quickly now with NIL, with conference expansion. I think the biggest fear, at least for me, is that if IU doesn't take football seriously, you're going to get relegated to whatever relegation league that comes up when all this happens. So, his seat is not hot. I mean, it's probably about as warm as like the seat you're sitting in. So he's not going anywhere. And unless something crazy happens, unless there's a mystery booster who pops up, or something off the field, I don't see it. And it's a good question, but I don't see it happening.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know Mark Cuban went there.
He will not donate money to hire or fire a coach. He's come out on record for that.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, if I had his money, I feel like I'd be throwing it everywhere at Penn State. But that's just me. I'm not a billionaire.
He donated a ton of money for the Cuban Center, which is our like sports media center that does, you know, all the edits, all the graphics and all that stuff. And they do a really good job. And it's been a really nice tool for IU Athletics, but he's not putting his foot down in terms of that, at least not publicly.
Gotcha. But we'll see. And I like Tom Allen. And I think he's done a good job at Indiana. It's just, you know, past couple of years have been tough.
Yeah.
You don't have the tools to succeed. Like if you're paying out of pocket for an offensive coordinator, I mean, that's tough.
Yep. So anyway, Sean, thanks for coming on. Indiana and Penn State kick off at 3:30 on Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. Game will be televised on ABC. IU fans, you can listen on the radio to Don Fisher, Rhett Lewis on the IU Radio Network. And if you want to sync the call and not have your ABC announcers, you could go to syncmycall.com and set it all up. Again, Sean, thanks. Thanks for coming on. And, you know, outside of Saturday, good luck the rest of the year. And we'll talk again.
Yeah, Sammy, thanks so much. Good luck to Indiana, too, after Saturday. Have a good night, buddy.
All right. That was Sean Kaim from Hardcore Penn State Football. Breaking down the game, be sure to download this episode, rate, like, subscribe on anywhere you can find podcasts. You could follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. We have all your Indiana football coverage. No matter what happens, we'll have you covered. News-wise, breakdowns, all that stuff, we have you covered. We're not going to leave you guys high and dry. So keep coming back. Enjoy the interactions, and as always, there are 4 weeks left of college of the regular season. College football goes by so quickly. Enjoy it while it lasts. Enjoy the nice weather while it lasts, and stay dry on Saturday.